Well, if anybody was at Sunday school this morning, you'll notice that I have a little bit of a problem in speaking this morning. And I was on the prayer list as well. Now, it depends on how you prayed for me. If you prayed that my voice would get much better, I'll be here for the next 2 hours. If your prayers are weak, this might be a very short sermon. Oh, my goodness. I was asked to go ahead and bring the message about a month ago. Pastor Brian knew that he was going to be gone, and I thought, no problem, I have plenty of time. And for the last 3 weeks, I had the sermon ready. And as many times have happened, this last Wednesday, things changed. And this one is a little more closer to my heart than the other one, although the other one did pertain to me too. It was going to be on the broken pottery. And I think we could all identify we've all been broken pottery at one time or another. The sermon entitled this morning is going to be Working Through Your Seasons, or How to Navigate the Seasons of Your Life with God's Help. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father God, we feel your presence with us this morning. We know that you are here. From the very moment we opened the door and entered into your sanctuary, we felt it in the Sunday school room. We praise you for what Vince has gotten up to say and gave his message. And we thank you, Father, for the prayers and the concerns that were written on the boards, the sharing this morning. We thank you for your music, the worship team. We thank you for Craig and for Gene and for the entire church, as our pastor is not with us this morning, that we still have church. We are still family, and you are still praised. We thank you for the time, Father, where we can go ahead and explore your word. And we pray, Father, that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be opened, that our very beings would be opened and accepting to your word, whether they be correction, whether they be affirmation, whether it be for direction. Father, we are all in different seasons. We ask for your direction and your touch. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Change in the Bible is a divine, purposeful cycle indicating God's control on the natural and the human life. Gene, I had no idea where you were going this morning with Children's Church. But it all talks about the natural life. It talks about the spiritual life. And it's all God ordained, everything that we do. How many of you would rather talk about the great successes of your life, the mountaintop experiences that you had, rather than sharing about slugging through the muck, nobody knows the trouble I've seen type things? It would be great if my wife would tell everybody how great a husband I am. But I'm afraid that she'd have to be telling about some of the lowly, stupid things I've done. How many things, it's the different seasons we go through. We seem to emphasize all the time the great things. Listen to the ball game that we just went to, and my son went ahead and threw the touchdown pass or whatever. But what about the guys who warmed the bench and never gets to play? My own grandson was sharing with me here this week. He went to state for the very first time. He's a junior. And it was a miraculous last game in high school where they were able to go to state. And they quit in the first quarter because I believe it was something like 43-0 in the end of the first quarter. And the other team went ahead and forfeited. Well, they were on a high. They knew they were going to state, and they were hoping to carry that on. And in the first playoff, they got smashed. But isn't that the season that sometimes we go through? We'd like to talk about when we went to state, not what happened after state. And it's like that in life, on everything that we do and everything we say. Some of us have gone through the high school seasons to career planning. Maybe we've gone through burnt pizza 101. Not looking at anybody in particular, but our first meal that Martha ever made was a burnt pizza. It wasn't not her fault, okay? She's a great cook. We didn't know that our little apartment stove was broke and set on 800 degrees. But we all go through these phases. We learn, and we go through budgets. We go through middle age. We go through old age. We go through retirement. And yes, the end of life. Sometimes we go through the death cycle as well. So we're looking at working through the seasons that we are in presently, but also for the seasons that is to come. Pick up your Bibles if you have them and turn with me to Leviticus 26, 3 and 4. Leviticus 26, 3 and 4. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season. How does that relate to what I'm talking about in seasons? God here is promising abundance of earthly things. The author stirs the mind to consider the rich treasures of spiritual blessings, all because every good and perfect gift comes from where? From God, from the Father above. As long as we have a covenant relationship with Him, He will give you the treasures of your heart in every season. Have you always felt that mountaintop experience? Have you ever always felt God's with you at all times? Wouldn't it be great if it was that way? Why isn't it? Why isn't it that way? He says right there that he is promising the rain. He is promising abundance. He is promising all these good things. Leviticus 26, 3 and 4. Again, in Leviticus. It says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season. God assures a fruitful season all the time. Gene, what would it be like to have rain all the time? It would be muddy. You couldn't plant. You couldn't do anything. So there is a time. A time? Seasons? Wait a minute. Isn't there a verse in Ecclesiastes that says for every season there's a time to reap, a time to plant, a time to hate, a time to love, a time to gather rocks, or maybe it's throwing rocks, I'm not sure. But there is a time and a season for everything. How is it that we're supposed to live in the seasons? God prepared seasons like spring. I love spring. That is my favorite season. When everything is starting to bud, when everything is starting to bloom, everything is starting to turn green, the birds have come back, the robins are there, they're making little nests, everything seems to be coming alive. And then there's summer. The fruitful summer where everything, the growth is all around, the life is full of energy, the seeds are planted, they're starting to come up. Then we have fall. What happens in the fall? Everything falls. Kind of like our seasons of life sometimes. We get a little older in the fall of our life. Things seem to be failing, like my voice, and sometimes the heart, and sometimes your voice, your hips, different things. But everything that we have worked for sometimes starts to fall. And then there's a winter. It's a slower time. Your farm equipment are put away. Everything is taken care of. It's time for the winter winds to start blowing. things get colder, at least in this area. And you think, if you had a season, I'm not going to ask if you love winter. Some people love it. But if you had a season that you absolutely wished you could stay in at all times, people have their favorites. But what we're talking about today is the season that you are in right now. I love the time when we have children's church and we see the children, that phase, that season up here. I love the teaching when you have the different classes as they are growing. I'm glad I'm not in those classes anymore. I remember what it was like when I was growing up. I was full of questions. And being a middle child, you can get away with a lot of things. But I don't think I'd want to go back to that at all. So, being ready in your season. How do you do that? How do you find, one, what season you are in, and then how do you go ahead and navigate so that you are absolutely in that time praising God and glorifying Him? Is it great as we are getting older to find out that our teeth need to be pulled? Oh, wonderful, I'm going to have root canal. Right. Oh, great. Let me tell you about my hip replacement. I can't wait to look forward to that. Or worse, a knee replacement. Wait a minute. I can't hear you. I can't. Martha's been saying I need to go. That's the next on our list, to get my hearing checked. But there's things that we need to prepare for the next season of life. And I remember this church in the many years that I have been here and things that I have seen and not seen and heard about, all the different phases all of you have gone through. All of them. We've been through a lot. We've been through divorce. We've been through alcoholism. We've been through depression. We've been through separations. We've been through various offenses. Some faces are here, some faces are not. And through the years, God is still being praised. How do we work through those seasons to where God is always praised? Or whether I, if I am going through that season, how can I praise God? Preach the word. Be instant, ready, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. How do we do that? We want to be ready. We want to be instant. So when God calls us, we can be ready to go ahead and provide a testimony, that we can provide the glory that He needs to spread the gospel to everybody that we come in contact. That's what we want to do. But I've got a headache. I don't feel good. What excuses do we use? What excuses do I use a lot of time? And maybe some of these are valid. Maybe I just don't feel like it. Maybe my wife or my husband yelled at me that morning, and I'd rather go home and kick the dog. And God, you want me to be instant right now? You've got to be kidding me. Be ready. Whether we like it or not, do we just float on with just our emotions? I do, a lot of times. I don't like to admit it. But a lot of times my emotions will dictate how I respond. If Jesus asked me to go ahead and go and talk to this one person or write a letter to this person and I cannot stand them, and God, you know who I'm talking about. I think some of us have a thorn in the side. We have a certain person that God don't ask me to do that. And this is where it gets personal sometimes. Maybe he's trying to develop me for the next season that I'm going to be going through. And I'm bristling at every word he tells me I need to do. But he told me here, I need to be instant. I need to be ready in season and out of season. I need to be willing in season, not unwilling out of season. The proof that our relationship is right with God is that we will do our best whether we feel inspired or not. And I would love to hear the testimonies of people that have gone through that. God maybe put it on your heart to do something. You didn't want to do it. You did it anyway. And yet there's a victory involved. And you look back on it and you think, praise God, I'm glad I did that. And he's tapping you on the shoulder and says, you didn't want to do it though, did you? But you learned, and now you're ready to go through the next phase, the next season, the next step that I have prepared for you. I don't know how many of you, I don't care what age you are, when you're in school and the teacher is telling you that you have to do this. And I had one, he tried and tried and tried to teach me how to do algebra. I didn't want to learn it, I couldn't learn it. One of them was geometry, I couldn't tell. Geometry, you had to learn this angle, all you got to do is look at it, you know it equals that. No, but you have to prove it. Why should I have to prove it? I'm never going to use geometry. And when I went into algebra, I thought, okay, I'm going to try and learn this. I could not learn it to save my life. Could not. He tried and tried and tried. And it wasn't until later on, much later, that I had a professor. He says, well, if you do this, it's going to lead to this, and you will be so glad because this theory and this all goes together, and the application is what I needed. It was in the learning. And I looked back on all of that and I thought, well, I appreciate their effort, and God, maybe I was learning, maybe I was straining myself to get to a certain point and I had blinders on, but it took another person to lead me to that point. And once I got to that point, I made straight A's in math. But I was stubborn. I was like an old mule. I did not want to go. Have you ever been in a season where you did not want to go? You ever been on a horse and you're jerking on the reins and that horse does not want to go? I've got a dog like that. You take him outside sometimes. You potty right now. No, I am not going to potty. Come on, let's go this way. I am not going that way. And that little tiny dog thinks he's 400 or 500 pounds, and you can't move him. But you sit there and you stand there and you talk to him and, okay, I'm ready now. We're like that when we're going from one season to another. God says be in season all the time. Be ready all the time. And there's times we just don't want to listen to God. But the proof of our relationship that it's right with God is when we do our best, whether we feel inspired or not. What season are you in now? Isaiah 43:19 says, are you ready for something new? Is that a question for each and every one of us? If God was to ask it, are you ready for something new right now? Are you just wanting to have the status quo? Don't rock my boat. I'm comfortable right here. I've worked my entire life to be right here. Don't ask me to do anything else. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Did you realize that God will do something in us, around us, through us, and for us, for the benefit of those around us? But I'm happy where I am right now. God, do this for somebody else. I don't want to be a blessing to anyone else. And then when you say that, it's kind of like, I caught myself, God, sorry, forgive me, but I really don't want to do it. And God is saying, I will do something. It will spring forth. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, because I have my hand on you. I love you, and I know your potential. I know what you can do. I know what you're capable of doing, even though you do not know it, he says, and you don't know it. He's waiting and willing to get you ready. He's prepared the way so that you're ready for the next season. And he's going to do it in such a way that the season that you're in right now, he's not going to push you. He's just going to let you know that I'm here, and whenever you're ready, let's go. Now, Hebrews, let's not get too far ahead of myself. I want to get back to Hebrews. Galatians 6:9 says, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. But we first have to get out there and plant, don't we? Hebrews 12:1 says that we must run with perseverance, throwing off everything that hinders us. Oh, he would have to say that, wouldn't he? How do we maneuver through the seasons that we're in right now? Maybe we're stuck in a rut. Maybe we want to get out of this season. Maybe we want to move on to the next one. But we're dragging too much with us. Maybe the stuff in the past seasons are weighing us down. Maybe it's partly justified. I don't know what your past is. Some of us have a lot of things that we've dragged up and carried with us even since our childhood. Maybe there's things that we're going through that we don't want to take with us, but we don't want anyone else to know either. But it says we must run with perseverance, throwing off everything that hinders us. My personal relationship to that is when I was running all the time. And I had a goal in mind, and I thought, I can't make that. I can't make that. Like the little train that says, I could. And then he said, I can't. And my mind is saying that. Every step that I would take, every footstep, every pace, about halfway through, my body is screaming, stop. Just go slow to a walk and just slow it down. And you can just walk home. You'll do all right next time. And I would press on. And I would have a goal. I'd see the flagpole at the very end and had that was my goal. Just make it to the flagpole. I can touch it, and I know my race is done for that day. And I would have to take my eyes off of it for a minute and just keep it down. Just one pace, one foot, one pace, just keep going, just keep going. And I would look up, and I'm at the flagpole. Perseverance. Keeping on when you don't think you can do it anymore. Knowing that you will get to the goal. Throwing off everything that hinders us. Sometimes it felt like I was running with lead shoes on. Have you ever felt something that you want to move on, you want to do something, but you're dragging something with you? Don't look at your husband, don't look at your wife. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. You want to know how to go ahead and be happy in the season you're in? Be joyful. Sometimes that's difficult. Be patient. That's difficult for me. Who was it that said something earlier? Maybe Sunday school says, I want to be patient. Oh, you just open it up then. What happens when you pray to be patient? He's going to teach you, isn't he? And faithful in prayer. Prayer. That holy communion between you and the Father provided by Jesus Christ himself. Where you can have that intimate relationship, that intimate talk, that intimate, where you can talk to him about anything and everything, anywhere, and he is going to listen. Things happen when you pray. Faithful in prayer. And sometimes we don't move on in the seasons that we're in because we do not pray. We don't want to bother him, and maybe we don't want to hear what he has to say. Genesis 8:22 says that there is an appointed order controlled by God for a specific purpose, a grand design. Everything that we go through, every phase, every season that we find ourselves in is by God, controlled by God for a specific purpose, and he is working through our seasons to prepare us for the next. And sometimes we just forget about that. I love what it says in that Paul had written in Philippians, his letter to the Philippians. And he says, Philippians 3:13 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do know, that forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the high prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We may never get to that season where we think we've got it all. And even Paul said, "I am the chief among sinners." We still have a sinful nature. We're still learning. Even Paul was still learning how to apply God in the season that he was in. But he said, "I haven't gotten there yet. But I'm always pressing toward the mark of Christ's high calling." It is a stepping stone to keep moving on, persevering, leaving all things behind for Christ's high calling. It's a stepping stone. It is one of those things that we keep doing what we need to do, whether we feel like it or not, because it's all for God's glory. I'm not doing this for man's response. There's no way in the world. We're doing this for God's glory. I'm hoping that somewhere, somehow, whether you're here or whether you're listening somewhere, that God is using this message to touch you. That he, for some reason, knows this message was meant for you. You need to move on, not be satisfied with where you are, but to go ahead and realize that he has much more, more than what we ever imagined, that he's getting us ready for. We're using it as a stepping stone, not an anchor. 2 Corinthians 5:17. New creation? Isn't that a familiar verse? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Old things are gone. The new is here. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If you are a child of Christ, the baggage is in the past. Everything is new. Every day is new. That's when the joy happens. That's when the prayers increase all the time. And I thank God for that. One of the things that Christians fall into that hold us back, even reciting that verse, is that we fall into a period of what we call discontentment. Maybe we're comparing ourselves to someone else. "Don't ask me to get up and do that. I can't do it. I can't speak as well as he does." Didn't Moses say that? Or, "Don't get me up there because I can't play as well as that person." Or, "I can't do this," or, "I can't do that." And that we throw up all of our comparisons And Jesus says that's going to deny you the opportunity to be grateful for the blessings that God has set for you and you alone. How do you know you can't do it until you try? I've been elected to certain positions in various churches. I got into the position and I realized, this is not where I'm supposed to be. But at least I tried. Discontentment. You're not happy with where you are. There's another one that might be holding us back. Have you ever heard of the word lament? Lamenting? We are sorry about something. Lamenting in the Bible means that it is a prayer expressing sorrow, pain, or confusion. That's doing it before God. But if you just lament by itself, whether you have grief, sorrow, pain, or confusion, that can hold you back. But God can use that, biblically speaking, when we are giving that to God in prayer, where you're talking to your Heavenly Father. You have that ultimate communion with Him. You have that covenant prayer. We're saying, God, I'm hurt. I need help from the pain and the suffering that I'm going through. He understands, He's listening, and instead of holding that back, He says, I will heal you. I will comfort you. I will take care of those issues so that we can move on together. We're not going to be stuck in a rut. The psalmist says in 13:1, and I forgot to write the exactly which one it is. I think it's Psalm 13:1. It says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And He's not. Sometimes we're hiding ourselves from Him. Be instant, in season, out of season, whether we feel like it or not. I'm going to skip out on some of this. My voice is failing a little bit. But I want to transition just a little bit. Some of this baggage that we had talked about earlier is difficult to talk about. And I've gone through this with some of my own family and friends as well. It's difficult when you're trying to be across from somebody who's cut their wrist for the third or the fourth time, and you've visited the hospital more times than what you care to have. When somebody's finally called you on the phone and said, I hate to tell you, but they've succeeded this time and they've committed suicide. More suicides than I care to imagine. Some of them are your best friends, people that you've worked with. There's seasons of depression. There's seasons of alcohol and drugs. There's divorces that cause problems. Loss of loved ones, financial issues, illnesses, cancer, different things have taken its toll on everybody. Some of these are the seasons that either you have gone through or perhaps you have felt a need to minister to those people. They leave scars internally and externally. There is no season that God cannot heal, that He cannot deliver, and prosper you through. So if we ever get to a place in your season where you are, and you think, I'm happy where I am, remember, God is preparing another season where you can be a minister to people who need you, to where only you can minister to them, where you can make a difference. Once we remove the burdens and remembrances that have so easily beset us, once we have dealt with the badges of honor, the scars from all of these different seasons, that's when God can bring us through. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be used by Jesus to be able to touch somebody else? Bishop Holly sent me a message here recently. And it talks about breakthrough. I want to read what she has written. That which seems like the end opens to a new horizon of breakthrough. Sometimes for you, sometimes for the other person. For the place of broken is but an opening to a new dimension and a depth of dominion that is found deep within the ravine of loss. You have fallen into the blessings of breakthrough, where broken has become a blessing for your future. Broken happened, but God called it in a completed assignment. It's finished. A new dimension of understanding widens the mind when patience has perfected you. The depth of dominion will be stepped on into with a new authority of spiritual knowledge. Breakthrough appears. Abilities develop. Your focus is different. Intentionality appears. The place of broken blessing is where God is trying to get you to go, whether for you or your friend going through it. Please take your foot off the brakes. Let God carry you away from the past and the present and glimpse the future. Be ready. Instant, in season, out of season, all the time. Be ready. He can take you there. The place of broken blessing can change your life. You've not been stripped of everything that you thought you should take with you. You've been equipped. It's time to move on. Now this, I'm going to close with this. This is taken from our Daily Bread ministry. It's a small devotional. And I'll just go ahead and read it. Speaking to a small women's group in a rural church in Texas, I became aware of a solitary man in a crowd. I wondered perhaps if he was the pastor listening into what was being shared with the women in his congregation. I noticed he kept his head down, turned slightly toward the aisle. But when the evening was over and most of the women had left, he came over to my book signing table and introduced himself and his beautiful daughter. As he turned his head to fully face me, I saw the scars cruelly etched into the left side of his face and skull. He thanked me for my message and transparency that night. I shared my own battles with clinical depression and mental illness, and then he gladly shared his story. When he was 15 years old, he put a gun under his chin and pulled the trigger. A millisecond from when the bullet left the chamber and entered his skull, he heard a voice ask, "Do you want to live?" Recognizing this as the voice of God, he said yes. Now he's a grown man with children and has a ministry to hurting teens. Asked if the scars are a daily reminder of that terrible choice he'd made, he said no. He said through a slightly crooked, warm smile that they are a daily reminder of the grace of God. A daily reminder of the grace of God. I hope none of us have ever had to experience anything like that. But for a millisecond, God spoke to you. Do you want to live? His seasons were about to end. And yet, God granted him the next season. And look what happened. He carried the scars from his past, not as a burden, but as a glory to God. Now here's a question I want to ask you. Why did Jesus choose to rise on that glorious resurrection morning, still bearing his scars? He could have chosen to leave the marks of crucifixion in the tomb, but he did not. He did not. Instead, they became the very proof for his friends that he was the Christ and he has risen from the dead. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. No matter what season you are going through, if you need a vision, take the vision of the resurrected Lord, because he is able to lead you out of where you are, enable you to survive with where you are, lead you to the next season that he has for you, so that you not only bless yourselves, but those around you. Would you allow God to tell his story through your scars? Would you allow Jesus to tell his story through what you have experienced? Trust God to carry you through your seasons. God's promise is taken from Isaiah 46:4. I think a lot of us can relate to this. "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." There is no moment that God is not carrying us always. Turn your brokenness into joy. Make your seasons a stepping stone, a testimony. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the example of suffering for us, that no matter what we go through, Father, you have already blazed a trail. You are there to hold us, to guide us, to love us beyond measure. Help us to always focus on you, for it's because of you and for what you have given to us in your death and resurrection that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.